360. What else should I try when I'm in New York?
Indian food?
I don't really like curry.
Racist.
I said I don't like curry food. I didn't say I don't like curry people.
All right, I was kidding earlier, but the phrase curry people, definitely racist.
That's Aziz Ansari in his Emmy Award-winning Netflix comedy, Master of None, with the actress Alessandra Mastronardi. In the show, Ansari plays Dev, who's an actor living in New York City most of the time, trying to figure out his career and his love life, which is really not unlike the actual life of Ansari and of Alan Yang, who co-created and co-writes the show. Yang and Ansari became friends, working together on the NBC series Parks and Recreation, where, Alan says, the writer's room was really a seven-year-long masterclass in creating TV scripts.
Motivation, stakes, turns, escalation. I mean, stuff like that where—
For the characters.
For any episode.
Yeah,
for any episode.
Yeah.
You know, if the story's not working, just go back to those four basic things. What does the character want? What does he or she have to lose if he or she fails? What are the twists and turns that happen?
So you could have
read a
book.
And then how does it get worse? Well, yeah, but then you see the then you get to try it.
Right.
Then you get to try it.
Right.
And then you get to apply it to what's happening. And watching other people who are good at their jobs and who are good at not only pitching jokes but breaking story. That to me, like breaking story to me was, I felt like I went from a zero to a non-zero.
And explain
at a certain
what
point.
That means.
Figuring out what happens.
Yes.
That's it.
It's the plot.
Yes. It's a complicated way of saying, okay, well, this is a story about Leslie Knope throwing a harvest festival for the town. Okay, what does that mean? Now what happens, right? Then what happens?
Yeah,
then
yeah.
What happens? Then what happens?
Well, I'm organizing this huge harvest festival, and normally this is the kind of thing I would love to do, but I'm just feeling really tired. I think maybe my allergies are acting up. I've already vomited like 5 times today.
Why does it happen? You know, where's the conflict? Where are the twists and turns? And that's something that, you know, some people probably learn earlier than that, but I learned a lot of it on Parks and Rec.
Leslie, go home. You're sick.
I'm not sick. It's just allergies. Come on, guys. Just let me in there.
No, you can't come in
you're
here.
You're not coming in.
Now, Leslie, you look tired and you're all sweaty.
You look tired and you're all sweaty all the time. What's your excuse? You want to go there, Jerry?
No.
That is Amy Poehler with Jim O'Hare and Aziz Ansari in Parks and Recreation, where you worked as a writer for all 7 of its seasons. So then you and Aziz create Master of None, the first season of which got great reviews and won awards. So did that make you think that for this second season, you didn't have to work so hard to make people aware of you and you could do things that are different?
I think doing something different was a huge thing for us. If you could pinpoint a formula for episodes in season one, we wanted to deviate from that formula. Let's not just recycle plots and recycle themes from season one. Let's try to push ourselves.
But
and
that's what TV does.
TV's different. It's a whole new world. Yeah. We wanted it to be 10 different little movies.
Yeah. Know? Well, speaking of little movies, season two opens with Aziz's character, Dev, going to Italy.
Uno, due, tre, formaggio.
Fammi vedere.
Un attimo. Grazie mille.
And there's a lot of Italian in this season and English subtitles. I guess that's a Netflix freedom thing, right?
It's incredible. Yeah, there's stuff throughout the season that I can't believe we got away with. And the idea is, can we trust the audience? And it's sort of having this faith in the audience and respecting them, respecting their intelligence, and saying, yeah, they'll go with us on this journey if we do our jobs. Just don't think that they need their hand held through everything. Is our hope.
I felt my hand had been dropped speaking of getting away with anything, you have an episode called New York, I Love You.
Yeah.
And there's a moment, one of these three characters whom we've never seen before. They're not any of your main characters. There's a doorman dude, there's this deaf woman, and then this taxi driver, and you go, what, huh? And during the deaf woman's thing, you just like, you don't just have her not be able to hear. There is no sound for 10 minutes.
Yeah, yeah. So I'm going to put spoiler bracket warnings around all of that. Avert your ears if you don't want to hear about it. But yeah, that was a huge leap of faith, and it really excited
us.
I
thought my computer was broken.
Yes, so we came up with the idea of following these different characters. And then on top of that, I was like, well, it would be interesting if one of them were deaf. I don't see a lot of main characters and protagonists of shows who are deaf, and they have such interesting specifics to their lives. And let's try it. And my pitch was we should have the audio drop out. And I think Netflix was a little nervous about that. And so we're like, let's do this. We'll record audio on the day, and we'll have all the audio. We'll have room tone. We'll have normal audio if we want it. And there was no better version than when it was completely
it makes you watch.
Yeah, you lean in. And so the proof was when we screened it, because we screen all these episodes in movie theaters just to get people's reactions like a movie does. And we make notes, and Aziz and I listen to the audience. And when we screened New York, I Love You, I was a little bit nervous. We'll see. Will the audience go on this journey with us? And, you know, the first section did well. And then, you know, it goes into the part where you're in the cashier's point of view, a character played by Trishelle Edmonds.
And, who is the deaf woman?
Yes. And the audio drops out. And I've literally heard some people, you know, I saw people looking around.
Yes.
Elbowing each other. Is there a mistake, et cetera. And within 30 seconds, people are leaning and watching. And it's one of the biggest comedy scenes of the entire season. And it killed.
That episode is really, really about non-stars, kind of random characters in these anonymous jobs. One of them has a disability. None of them are white. I mean, that seems like, look, we're going to be good. We're going to be pro-social.
Yeah, I don't think of it that way. I think I wouldn't say we went into that episode being like, we're going to do diversity. I think it's a little bit more about empathy. I think it was more about, what is that guy's life like? I don't know. And it's just the realization that everyone is the protagonist of their own story.
Right.
Everyone is the star of their own movie. And if you're a person who happens to be one of these people in this episode of the show, you haven't had any movies made about you.
Right.
You've had very few. Like, for that episode specifically, because it's not about our dumb, privileged lives, we interviewed a bunch of doormen. We interviewed a bunch of cab drivers. We interviewed some deaf actors and actresses, and they told us their stories, and we put a lot of them in the episode.
Right. You don't begin with an issue that we're going to
build. Oh, yeah. We really tried not to do that. Because
was,
you know, like I said earlier, I think people, if they were to make an SNL parody of the show, would have been like, oh, yeah, Dev, something happens to Dev. He talks about it with his friends at a nice restaurant, and then something else happens, and then by the end, he's like 2% more woke. And it's like, not like we didn't want to do that for every episode. It's like, yeah, we do talk about those issues, but I don't, hopefully not in an overbearing way. I think, you know, there's a lot of relationship episodes, career episodes, and then some experiments, like some sort of more experimental episodes.
Yeah. One of the episodes is about the Alan character, Brian, and his father is dating. His father is no longer married to his mother, and he's dating it. Was that whole premise a thing out of your life, out of your dad's life?
I haven't told my dad about this yet.
Really? Let's call him.
I would say it's very loosely based on reality. And so, yeah, my dad is on eHarmony, and, you know, he dates, and he has a fairly active dating life. I mean, I don't think he's dating up a storm, but he does. And we just kind of talked to each other and said, Aziz and I said, well, when's the last time you saw the love life of a, you know, 70-year-old retired Asian American guy, you know, depicted in a TV show?
So often. It's such a cliche.
You know, it's like we see enough of like overprivileged 30-year-old guys living in, you know, urban areas, having fancy meals and going on dates. Like, we've seen that, but this is happening, man. This is real.
No, I mean, Netflix, they obviously know exactly how many people watch every show, everything they do. But ratings don't exist. Do they say, oh, this episode did better, or this? Do they even tell you how your show did?
They told me 100 million people watched this show. It was 100% of the people. No, they don't tell me anything.
Really?
They don't tell me anything. As far as I know, they don't tell David Fincher what House of Cards gets. They don't tell anybody what anybody gets.
Which is interesting, because even HBO, I mean, HBO has ratings.
Yeah.
People, you know?
Yeah, I love it, man. Here's the thing. So when you don't have ratings, you don't wake up the next day and say, wow, did we get a 1.9? Oh, we got a 1.7. You know, that is a never-ending stress. And that's real. You know, that is a real stress.
Yeah.
And instead, in a way, you know, what the reviews are kind of the ratings, and what people tell you are the ratings, and your own satisfaction with what you made is the ratings. And then if you get canceled or picked up, is also the ratings.
But how weird that you don't have any idea.
Yeah, I'm cool with it. What I was going to say is like, look, we're not making the Super Bowl of shows. Right. This isn't like, you know, this isn't CSI. You know, it's very specific. Not it's may not be for everyone. I think it, you know, it's a wide variety of people can enjoy it, but it's our very personal show. It's a very bespoke, personal, small show for us. So
you'd rather have 900 people really, really love it than 90,000 who
I think it's more like 9 million. No, that's my guess. I don't know.
Alan Yang, it has been a pleasure to meet you and a pleasure to talk to you. Thank you.
Had a great time. Thank you, Kurt.
Alan Yang is co-creator of Master of None. Its second season is now on Netflix.